So, hello everybody. Today is Saturday, June 8th, 2019. Welcome to our Contract Trust Conference Call. We're not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We're not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. So thanks for joining us today. Jim has had some personal business to take care of, so it'll just be Judy and me today. And who would have believed that we would still be here waiting for the survey? We have been assured next week since October of last year. We can look at these delays with disdain, as they're all beyond anxious at this point. Consider this more time to prepare. Being properly prepared should allow more consideration for a higher rate. Obviously, one of the keys to preparation is having a valid trust in place. So, Judy, are you ready to get started?
I am, Carol. Glad to be here. Sorry that we won't have Jim, but we'll enjoy our time sharing with our friends and guests on the call.
Good.
Carol, last week you and Jim posted an article about our irrevocable contract trust as opposed to a statutory revocable grantor trust. What kind of feedback did you get from that article?
Well, actually, Judy, we got several attaboys from that article. It cleared up a lot of questions that people have had. We got only one negative response. We felt it our duty as trust providers to shed some light on the differences between the two types of entities. We're not attacking anyone, but offering our opinion on why we feel ours is a better choice.
Okay, so what if I just wait and exchange in my own name and SS number?
From what we've heard, you must have a trust if you will be receiving $1 million or more dollars. Setting up your contract trust pre-RV guarantees your privacy and anonymity and shows the bank that you are prepared for asset protection. As far as the so-called skeleton or temporary trust, they are revocable, and unfortunately, the bank becomes your partner. Not a good thing.
Yes, of course. That means you're not, you don't have, they have control over your money is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So what do you suggest for people of a statutory revocable grantor trust?
Well, even though I don't recommend one, it is obviously preferred over the bank's skeleton trust. If you have one and more comfortable using it, then by all means, use it for the exchange only. Use it for the exchange, and then after your exchange, put it into one of our trusts. Revocable trust gives you zero asset protection, and let's face it, with the kind of money we expect to receive at this exchange, it's our duty and obligation to do everything we can to protect the wealth as best you can. Post-exchange, you need to get those assets out of the revocable trust and into a vehicle whose main consideration is asset protection. And one thing I'd like to add here, I mean, some people really are very, very concerned about, I need to have a revocable trust because I listened to so-and-so and he said you have to have one. We are going to put a do-it-yourself, fill-in-the-blank revocable trust on our website. We're not guaranteeing it. It's a valid trust. It's been around for a long time. But if somebody wants, feels better having a revocable trust, we will have it available for you. And if it's not on the website yet, we will send out an email when it is.
Wow. So, well, do you want to expand a little bit more on that about estate planning?
Yes, you know, we all soon hope to be very affluent. We have an obligation to protect our windfall for our families and future generations. Prudent estate planning compels you not to own anything. Asset management, not ownership, is the best method available to reduce risk of loss. You can do this by utilizing the common law contract trust. No insurance at any cost can furnish the protection that the contract trust can provide. It provides protection for you, your family, your goals, and objectives. And as I said, if you do choose to use a revocable trust to exchange, as soon as you can, put it into an irrevocable trust to protect those assets. And, you know, you have to remember, the secret to real wealth is not owning it, but controlling it.
Exactly. So how do you propose we do that, Carol?
Well, Jim, my partner, my husband Jay, and I have been teaching and providing the non-grantor irrevocable common law contract trust since the 90s. My mentors, one of whom is on the line today, taught this trust in the 80s. It has survived the test of time in the courtroom. Use of these trusts has protected and saved countless family farms and businesses for decades.
Carol, you said earlier that if one already has a revocable grantor trust to go ahead and use it at the exchange, what other choices do we have?
Well, this is a little redundant because we have talked about it, but I feel it's important. We have heard that if you do not have a trust of any kind, the bank will provide a skeleton trust. As far as I know, it's a simple, statutory, revocable grantor trust. It is my assumption that the bank will be involved in the management or trusteeship of this trust. The bank will then become your partner until you can provide your own trust. I understand we'll have about 90 days to do this. And as Judy mentioned, as you mentioned just a moment ago, if the bank becomes your partner, they have control of the money, not you. It's very, very important that you try to prepare yourself way before this event. The best choice we would suggest is to have a non-grantor, irrevocable common law contract trust in place and ready to use. Non-grantor means you don't give anything to the trust. Instead, you exchange your assets for $21 or 100 trust certificate units, and this is a tax-free exchange. Irrevocable means you can't change your mind, and nobody can tell you to revoke it. Common law means it gets its power and rights from the law of contracts, which is supported by U.S. Constitution, a common law document itself. That right is protected by Article 1, Section 10, which states that no state shall pass any law impairing the obligations of contracts. A common law contract trust, also known as a business trust, is a contract written in trust format. A contract trust is recognized to the IRS and the courts as a UBO, or unincorporated business organization.
Wow, that's a great description, Carol. But if you don't mind if I ask, why is it superior to anything else?
Thanks, Judy. Thanks, Judy, for asking. The management of any trust lies with the trustee. With the contract trust, you may be your own trustee, which is often a big no-no to most statutory trusts. Very simply, that means that there is no one between you and your money. The trustee's fiduciary duty is to conserve and improve the trust to increase the value and financial rating of the trust. And the trust is not responsible for your personal debts, nor are you liable for any debts of the trust. The trustee's powers are absolute, exclusive, and unlimited, and I recognize the general powers of natural or artificial persons to do or permit any and all things that are not illegal. This means, then, that they may also do anything that an ordinary adult sovereign person can do. Again, you can be your own trustee, giving you full authority to do or not do anything you want. And there is no one between you and your money. You can name your spouse as co-trustee. You can name your children as successor trustees. You can add a bloodline clause to ensure that your family's generational wealth does not fall into others' hands. You can also add a spendthrift clause so no one can hypothecate or pledge his or her possible shares of trust income. And while this trust has a limited life of 21 years, it can be renewed indefinitely. Every 21 years, the trustees may say, this is a good thing. I think we got to keep it going. What do you think? Well, sure, let's write a minute and we'll keep it going for another 21 years. That's how you're going to keep this generational wealth in your family for generations.
Excellent. I love the simplicity of it. Why is it good? Why is it a good idea to exchange my assets irrevocably into the contract trust? Why would I lose control that way, Carol?
Well, revocable trust is effective at avoiding probate, but not federal or state inheritance taxes. Because it is revocable, the IRS may determine that the assets are really yours and include them in your estate at your death. The assets may also be at risk if you are sued. Americans with any wealth at all have at least one financial foe this year more than the taxman. That foe is the lawyer. Many businessmen and professionals know the legal system is out of control. And nowadays, it doesn't take much to convince a jury to vote to give all of your assets to a sympathetic plaintiff. One mistake or even one unfortunate accident can take away all the fruits of a life's labor. Insurance often cannot or will not cover an entire claim. Juries often award damages beyond the limits of the policy, forcing the creditor to look to your personal assets to satisfy his claim against you or your business. So think about this. Because of the proliferation of the lawsuit and the potential exposure and liability so many face every day, successful professionals and business owners are putting a higher priority on asset protection than on tax avoidance. The common law trust is just contract trust is just one of the key ways to preserve assets from creditors and judgments from lawsuits. Why is this possible? Simply stated, if you don't own the asset, then no one can take it away from you. An irrevocable contract trust is one you cannot revoke or amend. It is created in contemplation of life, not death, and you are always in control.
Okay, God, Carol, and you're so knowledgeable, and I appreciate how well you say everything. It's so easy to understand you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. You mentioned I could be the trustee. Is there not a conflict of interest in being my own trustee?
Once you exchange your assets into the trust, you no longer owe them. By the terms of the trust, you are then eligible to become trustee.
Okay. Is there anyone else involved in the contract trust?
The trust is a contract, and since one cannot contract with oneself, we use the services of a disinterested third-party creator to initiate the exchange of assets into the trust. At this exchange, the creator temporarily takes title to your assets, in this case your currency, and transfers them into the trust. As part of the exchange, the creator gives you a total of 100 trust certificate units, and $21. This, of course, is all done on paper, which we provide. As far as the $21, you're asking somebody to do you a favor by being the creator. So I either suggest you take this person out to lunch for the $21, or you give them the $21 ahead of time so they can give it back to you. You don't really want to put them out if they're doing you a favor. So the next thing the creator does is appoint the first trustee. While he or she can name any suitable adult person, we believe that as you were the one wise enough to buy all that currency, you are the most likely candidate to become the first trustee. At that point, the creator exits the contract, never to be heard from again. The creator can be anyone you choose. Some people may be concerned about any future liability in the trust. Once the creator has performed his or her two tasks, the exchanging and appointment of the trustee, he or she is released from all future responsibility, duties, authority, or liability regarding the trust organization.
Okay, Carol, thank you. So, well, you mentioned certificates. Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
The certificate represents an exchange between the creator and investor exchanger. This initial investment of money or property by the exchanger is a fixed, irrevocable investment. So in other words, if you put $1 million in there, the trust now owns $1 million. You can't say, oh, I think I want to give some to my nephew. No, the trust already owns it. You don't.
Because you exchanged them into the trust.
Exactly. So the certificates are the personal property of the record owner alone without reservation of any community property interest, which means if you're married, and let's say your spouse does not necessarily go along with this whole evaluation business, you can create a trust on your own without that person. You can put whatever currency you've bought into that trust. Your spouse does not have to agree or disagree if he or she didn't own the money, own the certificates, own the currency anyway. Ownership does not entitle the certificate holder to any legal or equitable title in or to the trust organization properties or assets, but you only entitle the record owners of trust units to the proportionate shares or distributions. The certificate becomes null and void upon the death of the holder. It is the responsibility of the remaining or successor trustees to issue new certificates. And the trust that you receive from us has two additional blank certificates. Do not sign them. Upon your death, the remaining or successor trustee will void your certificate and issue a new one, either to themselves or someone you have previously named. The remaining or successor trustee will sign them. Again, do not sign the blank ones. If they don't have your name on it, don't sign it.
Wow,
well, Judy, we've been on for a little while. What do you think we should maybe break for questions and answers?
I think that's a great idea.
Anybody has a question or answer, just *6 to raise your hand, and we'll look on. So, but in the meantime, until people start doing that, I guess we can continue.
Okay. So, Carol, do I need more than one contract trust?
Well, you probably don't need additional contract trust at this point. You will most likely want to diversify Folkstar B. We like to call this first contract trust your mother lode trust. It is and should stay private, normally to you and to your banker, private banker, wealth manager. we suggest that you never purchase anything from this trust and never do online banking from this trust. You really don't even need checks or a debit card. Once the initial business of the RV is settled down, you may wish to create additional contract trusts for specific needs. And I do see a couple hands here, so let's go.
Great.
Okay, Daphne, how are you doing today, dear?
Hi, Carol?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can, Daphne. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a question, but it's kind of hard to hear Judy. She sounded coming in low, and it was just
all
my
right. Let me turn my volume. Is that better, now. Daphne? Is that better,
yes.
Daphne?
Yes.
Perfect.
Still low. Okay. Better.
All right. Thanks for letting us know, Daphne. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. 781.
Hi, Carol. It's Kathy from Massachusetts.
Hi, Kathy. Good. How are you?
Good. I was wondering, you know, when we have to write the minute, of, not the minute, put our currency into Schedule A. When
yes.
We, say I take some money out at the exchange. Do I put it as American dollars or as the dinar? Like if I have, say, $250,000 in dinar, 250 dinar, and I exchange it and it comes out to a million, and I take $250,000, do I put that it's $750,000 in the Schedule A, or do I put how much actual dinar currency it is?
Yeah, this is a, you know, I just mentioned if you put a million dinar into your trust, it stays in the trust. So what the trust owns is your currency and obviously the resulting money. The reason I've always left the amounts blank, and I've always told you don't fill any amount yet, is because you may want to give some away.
Right.
You may want to take some cash as it's exchanged. So let's say you have a million dinar and you decide to take 200 in it. 25,000 dinar, as you said, and it revalues for $100,000. Is that right? Four times 25, yeah, $100,000. And you want to take out $50,000. So when you put in Schedule A, how much dinar you had, it will be the equivalent of what you actually put into the trust, which at that point would be 12,500. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, so. It's American dollars that we put in, not...
No, it's not dollars. It's not dollars. It's just currency.
So it's the dinar currency. So if I have 200 dinar notes, that's the 200 dinar.
Whatever it comes to. Whatever 225K comes to, whatever, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's all... I get confused on that, and I want to wait till the exchange to fill that in, but I wanted to do it right.
Yeah, and that's a really good question. I think Jim and I may have to post something specific about that.
Oh, great. Well, I hope your day goes well. Appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. So, Judy, where are we? Number 14. Judy? Well, Judy must have stepped away. So the question was, what other types of contract trust do we provide? So in an effort to keep everything as isolated and insulated as possible, we suggest an initial secondary trust. It should be considered level 2 of your trust organization. This level of your trust organization should still be kept secure and hidden. The individuals are the trustees of this trust. It will receive funds from your mother-load trust so it can function as your purchasing or lending arm. So what's going to happen is your mother-load is going to create the second trust, the secondary trust. And it's also going to fund that secondary trust. So let's say you have $1 million in your mother-load, you want to fund this secondary trust with $500,000. I mean, obviously the numbers are going to be whatever works for you. So Hypothetically, it functions much like the branches of a tree. It has more exposure and is easier to break or penetrate, but it is an account that needs some level, that connects to some levels of the outside world. View your secondary trust as the entity that can lend money to purchase large ticket items like vehicles, lands, and homes, and to disperse funds into other areas of your trust organization. It will fund other accounts, such as the trust accounts, charitable trust, real estate, home maintenance trust, and vehicle and maintenance trust, etc. It will also fund personal checking accounts for daily and personal expenses. This is spelled out a little more clearly on one of the diagrams that we have about the multi-trust program, and that is on the website. Looks like we have another caller. Excuse me. Area code 402. 402?
Carol?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Merle.
Hi, Merle. How are you doing?
Good. I had a couple of questions. I hope it's okay now because you haven't discussed this type of thing, but you're getting close. I just wanted to know, if, like, when you transferred from your main trust to another trust, and say that you get one for a house, for example. First of all, you need to go through a secondary trust, which is a transfer account. Is that correct?
Well, you're going to... The mother-in-law trust is going to fund a real estate trust. And the real estate trust is the one that's going to buy the house.
Okay. And say that you put $250,000 in there, the house costs $200,000, and before you know it, everything's gone. You didn't put enough money in. Can you do another transfer into that trust without being a taxable event?
No. So I suggest you really load up on that real estate trust. You want it to be able to pay for, obviously, all the cost of the house initially, but for real estate, property taxes, for maintenance, for new furniture, for a new lawn, for whatever. You want to have enough money in there that keeps generating money. So put enough money in there that you can put that money to work so it keeps itself generates an income.
Okay, so that's a one-time deal. You can't add more money later to it.
Well, if you do, it's more than likely, well, depending on what the laws are, it's more than likely going to be a taxable event if you do that.
Okay, so it's a one-time deal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Merle.
Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Luis. Luis? Hi, I can hear you.
Good. You mentioned earlier that your site may, in the future, have the alternative of downloading a revocable trust. Do you have a target date for that? That's question number one and two.
It'll be sometime this week.
Okay. Could both share the same PO box address, like the one that we have on the revocable trust?
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't see why you can't use the same address.
Okay, that's it for now. Thank you.
Okay, now, speaking of addresses, though, you know, the mailbox service that we use in Cheyenne, Wyoming, will only take one trust per $125 mailbox. If you want three, I think it's $145. If you want five, it's $180 or something like that. Jim has found a couple new sources, one in Evanston, Wyoming, and one in Washington, Vancouver, Washington, and they will both take up to five for the same $125. Just something to consider. Anything else, Louise?
I think that's all now.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, Judy, did you get knocked off, honey?
Well, I don't know. When I changed the volume on my phone, I could hear you, but then you couldn't hear me, so I just hit star 6 so you'd know I've always been here. I apologize
okay.
for that.
All right. Well, I'm going to see if we can just keep you here without losing you again, because we do have another caller. Hang on. Okay. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, how are you? I'm so glad I got you. I feel so uncomfortable with my knowledge of this. Excuse me, one second. Let me turn this off. Okay. I'm sorry. I I feel so uncomfortable because I don't feel like I have enough information. And I'm wondering about, you said I'm getting you, because I'm not getting emails from you or Jim. The information you say will be posted. I don't have access. I don't know where that is. Where is it going to be posted?
Okay.
That's one question. And the other one is, do I have access? Oh, do I have it? What is your website? I don't have a website.
Oh, the website is www.indicatorinformation.com, but it is members only, so you need an invitation. So send me an email, and I will send you the invitation.
Okay, will do. Okay, very good. Thank you. And the other question is, are you guys going to have the seminars afterwards that will help us know what we should be doing step by step? I feel so lost.
Somebody really wants to get a hold of you. We're talking about seminars. Everything is so unclear at this point because we know we're going to be slammed with business.
Right.
So we are discussing it. You know, we might do a little tour around the country. You never know. But we'll obviously let you know what happens, what we decide to do.
Okay.
It's a good question. Thank you.
How can I find out more, get more on the things that I'm really insecure about as far as when this RV happens? What is my next step? What should I do step by step? Where can I find that information, or how can I get that? And people are asking me questions, but it's kind of like scrambled in my head. It's not
okay. Well, are you getting any emails at all as to what's happening and how you should be prepared and all that kind of stuff?
No.
Okay. I will put out some stuff, what to do.
Okay. That was great.
Yeah, and all the information that you need regarding some backup information on understanding the trust, it will all be on the website.
Okay, so you're going to send me what the website is.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a link, yeah.
Okay, sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Luis?
Carol, quick question. I forgot to ask before. On the notification email that your revocable trust is available, could you please include what will be your fee for processing a new EIN as well?
Would you repeat that, please?
Yes. On your email notification about the revocable trust availability to be downloaded, could you please include the fee that you will charge to originate the EIN?
Oh, sure. We have you do that. That'll be on the website.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. It looks like I've lost Judy again. Well, oh, there she is. There we go.
I'm right.
Okay. There you go. Okay. We've got another caller here, area code 770.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, Carol. This is Tracy calling. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good. I have a quick question about the duration of the trust. Is it 25 years or is it 21 years?
21.
21 years? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Well, I don't see anybody else in the queue, so Judy, let's go back to number 15.
Carol, do I need an EIN number for each trust?
Well, that all depends on the purpose of the trust. If you anticipate doing any banking from a contract trust, it needs its own EIN. We do obtain the EINs on your behalf as part of our service.
Okay. Now that I know how my currency gets into the business trust or the contract trust, how do I get my money out of there?
There are actually four different ways. The first way is to pay yourself a modest salary as a trustee, which I recommend. This should be enough to cover your everyday needs like groceries, utilities, gasoline, medical bills, etc. The second way is to declare and pay a distribution to the trust certificate holders of the trust. In either case, this money is taxable income to you. So you probably want to take some money this way and pay a minimal amount of tax. You could also borrow from the trust. A big question for many is, how do I pay off my house, or how do I purchase new property? And there are a couple ways to do this. You could borrow money from the trust, especially essentially a new mortgage or refi that you control, or the trust could pay off or purchase the property itself. However, in either case scenario, you still have owning the property in your own name. And as we just talked about, that is another good idea, especially if you're trying to keep a low profile. Better option is to obtain a mortgage from the trust secured by a promissory note and put the house into a real estate trust. This would be optimal for large expenses and not a taxable event. And one more way to finance major property, major purchases like houses and cars, is have your mother-in-law trust create the real estate trust, create and fund the real estate trust. And they said overfund it, so there's enough money in there for the house and the closing.
Well, you're not going around with a hip.
Excuse me? Judy?
No, I'm right here, honey.
Okay. So you're going to create that secondary trust. You're going to overfund it. So more than cover the cost of the house. It'll cover taxes for years. It'll cover insurance. It'll cover maintenance. It'll cover landscaping. But there should be enough money left in there that you can put that money to work so it self-generates some income. But you can use either way to purchase cars or houses. And that's one way we like to think about this, because it doesn't create a loan that you have to make payments on, and it doesn't create a taxable event. And don't forget about tax-deductible expenses. You know, what about vacations and golf and tennis club memberships? You know, as a trustee, you're charged with managing and growing your trust. It means you probably want to investigate business opportunities and relationships, right? Most of those expenses are tax-deductible to the contract trust. Regardless of which method or combination of methods you choose, be sure to write minutes to support your actions. And you must be diligent in keeping with the contract trust legal and in compliance with federal, state, county, and city codes. Jude?
I'm right here, doll. Do you know if the RV will be considered a taxable event, Carol?
Well, currently, from everything that we've heard and listened to, we think there will not be any federal tax imposed on revalued currency, or it will somehow be taken care of at the exchange institution, like long before we see it. However, if this is not the case, we will need to set up a secondary account to pay the taxes. If it's taxed, you're covered. If not, you have a sizable bonus a year later. I've heard that because the VIM is classified as a bond, it may be taxed.
Carol, something's going on. Something's going on with the phone, Carol. It's ping-ponging.
Okay, I hope everybody... I've got one caller. Let's see if he can hear everything okay.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah. Hi, Dean. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you fine. Carol,
okay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Apparently, Judy's having a problem, and I'll keep her in line. She can come back in when she can. But go ahead. Do you have a question?
Yes. When we set up for some other old trust, we take our salary out of the second trust, not the mother old trust?
That is my plan, yes.
When we set that up, I tend to have someone helping me, my son. Can I set his salary out of that also?
Can you pay your son a salary if you give him a job?
Yes.
Yeah, give him a job, pay him out of the, yes, pay him the salary out of that trust, yes. He'll be working for the trust.
So I'll have myself and another person working for the trust?
Yes.
Okay. With the QFS, the Quantum Financial System, does that change anything about us needing the Lloyd's of London or the Abbott Downing insurance?
You know, that's a question I really don't know, but I would still suggest it. Depending on how much you're exchanging, you could probably get that as a perk. Yeah, get wraparound insurance on it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
Can you hear me, Carol?
Yeah, I can now. Yeah. Yes, I can, but we've got a question now. Una?
Perfect. Yes. Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I want to find out, in terms, suppose I want to pay off my mortgage, would it be better for me to take a mortgage from the trust or just pay it off initially once the RV takes place?
Well, if you borrow and take a mortgage from the trust, you're going to have to make some kind of a payment, even if it's an interest payment. Otherwise, the IRS or whatever taxing authority we have may consider that a loan. And may consider it a gift and tax you on that. Or, again, I would obviously create a secondary trust. Yeah.
So, secondary trust and then use that.
Yeah. A real estate trust.
Oh, a real estate trust. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Something on TV.
All right. Thanks, Carol.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Una. Hello, Danny. How are you doing today?
Perfect, thank you. I plan to take an exchange myself, and then if I'm kind of conflicted, I guess, if I put everything into my motherlode trust, then I have nothing except by navigating, you know, proper channels. If I were to take and put everything into a holding account, and then allocate from that account to the trust myself for gifting, for function, is that appropriate in your opinion? What do you have to say?
Well, you know, like I said, once you put something into the trust, it's irrevocable. So that's, again, why
exactly
I suggest,
right.
Yeah, why I suggest you don't write down the amounts. As far as a holding account, I mean, I plan on using some holding accounts also because I have other trusts that are already set up that need to be funded. So let's say all of my currency is in my motherlode trust. And I don't think they're going to give us time to exchange into more than one trust.
I don't think so.
So all of my currency is into my motherlode trust, but I know I still have three or four other trusts that I want to fund. And I want to obviously take out some money personally. So I'm going to pull a portion of, after it's been exchanged, pull a portion out from the mother load and put it into this holding account. And then a subsequent appointment with my wealth manager or private banker, have them set up these other accounts for these other trusts using the money in that holding account.
Okay. So if I hear you correctly, at the exchange, you're the exchanger, I'm the exchangee, right? I mean, so I'm exchanging, bringing the currency to the exchange, so I put everything in my mother load, and then in that account, I would then later allocate to my subsequent trust for purposes. How are you paying yourself out of, how are you putting aside assets at the exchange other than the trust account for yourself? Because how does that work?
I do talk a little bit. Well, actually, that's my very next question. The very next question is, how can I take advantage of a one-time tax break? And I think most of us have these questions because we have issues that we need to address post-RV, mm-hmm. whether it be outstanding debt, a new car, helping out friends. We don't want to pay taxes. We don't have to. So while we're at the exchange, how about this scenario? Mr. Banker, I now have X million dollars. I would like you to put $100,000 into my personal account. Here is my account number and our wire instructions. I would like to take $9,500 cash with me when I leave today, as well as a debit card or credit card attached to my personal account. You don't want that card attached to your motherlode account. You want it attached to your personal account. I will need these wires to be sent, and here's the list of cashier's checks that I need. I will need a pass-through account for X number of dollars. I would like to put the balance into an account at your bank for ABC Trust. Here is my paperwork. Again, I think the abstract and EIN should be all that you need. Again, you know, I'm not a CPA or tax planner. It's just my opinion of how we may be able to take advantage of this one-time tax break. Does that answer your question, Danny?
Yeah, it does. So you're actually asking them to do something for you, which is to split, divvy, you know, something into the mother load and something into a personal account.
Yeah,
if you have
exactly.
a personal account number at another bank, if you're at one bank A, your account's at bank B, that's doable too.
Yeah,
and or
exactly.
actually ask them to open up two accounts for you, one for the mother load and one for your personal account at that moment in time.
Yes.
Without attaching any kind of debit card or any kind of checking account. When you get to your wealth management appointment, then you can take and finalize, designate, allocate, you know, your portions to as you wish, or to benefit from this one-time tax break, if you will. Presuming,
yeah.
assuming that, you know, we're not going to be taxed, you know, should we will then find out, and then we would, you know, we would learn what to do. I get that. Thank you very much. That's a good
You're welcome.
That's great.
You're welcome. Okay.
Nathan, Carol.
Thank you. Dean, you have another question?
Carol?
Yes, Dean?
On renewing this or doing the trust, will there be something within the trust that will tell us where and how to renew it?
It's on the website. Actually, it is in the trust itself, but we will have the minute on our website.
Thank you very much, Carol.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Dean. Okay, Audrey. Audrey?
Yes. Are your calls recorded where we can go back and listen to this again? You know,
they are. Absolutely, they are.
And where do we go? How do we access them?
Well, they're on IQDcalls.com. They're on YouTube, and they are on our website.
Okay.
If you go to YouTube, put in my name, Carol Worlius.
Okay.
Plus, Carol, they're in all your emails. At the bottom of all your emails.
Oh, that's true. At the bottom of all my emails is the link. Thanks, Judy.
I'm looking at this. It said, I don't see it. Okay, but I'll find it. I think I have seen your name on one of these emails that I got.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, Judy, we can go to Brazil.
Okay, Carol, we've all heard, most of us anyway, Vera did it again. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I think Free Conscious doesn't like me today.
Maybe.
We've heard that we need separate accounts for the dinar apart from other currencies. Does that mean that they need to go into another trust?
Well, the important word here is account. One contract trust can own several bank accounts, so the answer would be no. However, you can have additional trusts if you feel you want to set it up that way. It's pretty simple. Just as you can open bank accounts, you know, as many banks as you want, the trust can as well. You know, as many locations as you feel appropriate. Personally, my husband and I will have our mother load trusts and secondary accounts at several different banks. And right now, we have our mother load account at two different banks. So, I mean, opening other accounts is no big deal. But to go back to your question, you just need separate accounts, not separate trusts. So there'll be mother load a D account, mother load V account, mother load Z account, however you want to name it. But they can all be separated still within the same trust.
Okay, great. Do I have to contact you to write minutes or update my trust, Carol?
Well, several years ago, when my husband Jay and I started in the trust business, Jay said, we can't just give people the key to this F-16 without giving him an owner's manual. So we created booklets, several booklets about the trust, including how to operate. And all of this information is available on our website, including sample minutes for your use, as well as a host of legal backup, including amateur second on typically business trust. We give you very specific directions on operating your trust, instructions on writing minutes that document your actions, and this saves you time and money. Our website, www.indicatorinformation.com, is full of sample minutes for your use. The website is members only for your authorized use only. Please email me or Jim for an invite code to join.
Great. Carol, how long does it take to set up a contract to us, and how much does it cost?
Well, typical turnaround time has been less than a week until recently. With all the anticipation of the RV happening soon, we've been very busy, so we're adding staff. Once up to speed, we should be back to a week or so. The pre-RV cost is $14.95 for the first trust. Additional trusts are $11.95 each. These prices will go up considerably post-RV. This is a one-time charge, and since it's not registered with the state, there are no annual fees to the state or to us like there are with corporations or LLCs. And we also offer a $300 referral fee for new clients.
Excellent. So, Carol, do you offer any other estate planning services?
Well, we have the triple play, which includes our power of will, power of attorney, and health care directive. The triple play is $275 for a single and $350 for a couple.
Carol, will you and Jim be available to answer any questions or prepare additional trusts post-RV?
Well, like many of you, we plan to retire after the RV. We will stay in business for about 6 months or so post-RV. We do have a staff that will continue to produce trusts if warranted. You know, our website will archive and does archive all of these calls as well as questions and answers as they arise. And the question of going on tour has come up before. Jim and I have played around with it. We're just going to have to see how that works out. You're just going to have to see. If we do, we'll certainly let everybody know. And unless we have any other questions, Judy, you have any questions?
I don't, honey, but thank you very much. It was a great day today.
Well, thank you. Well, we don't have any more questions, so thank you all for your attendance and attention. And again, Judy, thank you as always for your assistance. Once again, my name is Carol Worlius. My phone number is 425-820-8090. I'm available between 9 and 5 Central Time. My email address is info@indicatorinformation. Have a blessed weekend and go RV. Bye-bye, everybody.
Go RV. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.